Our text for this evening we want to look at is the verse number 20 of Revelation chapter number 3. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." The great artist of a bygone era, the name of Holman Hunt, he invited a friend to view one of his paintings. And as that friend viewed that work of art, his friend said to the artist, "It is a beautiful picture, but you have forgotten something. You see, in that picture there is a man knocking at the door, but there is no latch on the door for him to enter in." The artist replied to those sentiments by saying, "The man at the door is Christ. The door is the entrance of the human heart, and the latch is on the inside. And unless that door is opened from the inside, then the Lord Jesus Christ will never enter in." And my, that painting is a wonderful illustration of the words of our text tonight when applied in the gospel. In the context here of the chapter before us, these words were addressed by the Lord to the Laodicean church. Now, sadly, in this church, the Lord's people had departed from the Lord. Their first love, they had fallen away from the things of God. They had been adrifting from the ways of the Lord. Their fellowship with the Lord was not as it once was. There was a distancing of themselves between them and the Lord. However, in His sovereign mercy and in His sovereign grace, the Lord seeks after this people's restoration. He seeks to draw them back to Himself, even by the words of our text tonight when He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." And here He is calling the Laodicean church, the Laodicean believers, back to Himself. Back to the place of blessing. Back to the place of restoration. And by this call to restoration is the meaning of the text before us this evening. However, at the same time, these words can also be applied in the gospel. For in the gospel, they're a wonderful picture of how the Lord Himself draws near to the sinner and calls the sinner to Himself for salvation. Yes, these words show to us the Lord's way of saving sinners. Now, the picture here is one of the Lord knocking at the heart's door of the sinner. The picture here is one of the Lord calling that same sinner to Himself for salvation. And friends, that is how I want us to consider these words this evening. When the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." By in this verse here before us, you have a beautiful picture of the Lord's way of saving sinners. There are three things from this picture I want you to note tonight. First of all, I want you to see here the portrait of Christ Himself. Look at how He is depicted. Notice how He describes Himself. At the beginning of the verse, He says, "Behold." That's a word that commands our attention. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And the picture here is one of Christ knocking at the door of the sinner's heart. Who is the sinner? The sinner is one who is defiled in God's sight. The sinner is one who has broken the law of God, who has come short of the glory of God. The sinner is one who is condemned already, the Bible says, to a lost eternity and hell itself. But in grace and in mercy, the Lord comes and the Lord knocks upon the heart's door of such who are sinners before Almighty God. You may ask the question tonight, what is the purpose of such knocking? Why, the purpose of such knocking is that the sinner will trust Christ the Savior, that the sinner will repent of their sins and be saved from hell and partake of God's so great salvation. Why, this whole purpose of salvation is summed up for us in those tremendous words of Christ. when he spoke in the ears of Zacchaeus of old outside the city of Jericho, when he said of himself, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Oh, dear friend, in the meeting tonight, let me ask, has the Lord been knocking at your heart's door of late? Maybe you can testify to that this evening. You see, the Lord knocks at your heart by the striving of His Holy Spirit, by the striving of the Holy Ghost. You see, in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, what does God say? He says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." And the fact there that He mentions the striving of the Spirit, it shows to you how God strives with the heart, strives even with your own heart by the mighty power of God the Holy Spirit. My also knocks at your heart's door by the word of the gospel itself. You see, the Bible says the entrance of thy word, the entrance of God's word bringeth light. You remember what Paul said to young Timothy. He said, "Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." God spoke to Timothy, and through the word of the gospel as a young child, Timothy was saved. Tell me, friend, has God been speaking to your heart through His word and through His truth of late? My God also knocks at the heart's door by the witness maybe of a friend. Maybe by the witness of a family member. That's how it was with Simon Peter, who was saved. It was Brother Andrew that witnessed to him of Christ. He said to Peter, "Peter, we have found Christ the Messiah. We have found the Son of God," which is interpreted the Christ. And the Bible says this of Andrew, that he brought Peter to Jesus. He witnessed to him. Friend, has there been somebody in your home, in your family, in your workplace, maybe witnessing to you of late? Also, He knocks at your heart's door, maybe by trial, maybe by loss, maybe by adversity. Think of what David said. He could say this of God. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." He testified of affliction in his life that was used to draw him to the Lord. Maybe, friend, God has been knocking at your heart's door of late, maybe through some loss, some trial. Maybe something very precious to you that God has taken from you to get your attention, to get you to listen to God, to focus upon Christ and your need of God's salvation. My, He knocks. He takes away the very desire of our eyes that we might get our attention upon Him, that we might focus upon the Lord. My, He also knocks at your heart's door by the bounty of His goodness. You see, the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Tell me, has God been knocking at your heart's door even through His goodness? You can look at your life and look at your circumstances and you can say, "Such is the common grace of God to me. God has been good. God has blessed me. God has given me more than I deserve." Then in His goodness, He lavishes it upon you so that you might come to the place of repentance. By the hymn writer says, "Sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and in pain." Friend, has God been knocking at your heart's door? The Lord says here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is this a picture of your heart? Your state, your condition, and the meeting tonight, God has been knocking, God has been speaking. And what is the purpose of the Lord's knocking? What is the purpose of the Lord's speaking voice to your heart? The purpose is that you would come to Christ, that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's why He knocks. That you might come to an end of yourself and trust the Lord as your Savior. My, He knocks upon your heart's door that you might come to that place of repentance toward God. That you would acknowledge your need as a sinner in the presence of God Almighty. You see, the Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that's the command that applies to every one of us in this meeting tonight. Young or old, men and women, boys and girls, friend, God says you must repent of your sins if you are to be saved. That is why God knocks at your heart's door. That is why the Lord speaks to your soul. That you might come to trust Him as Savior. That you might come to repent of your sin. My, He speaks, He knocks, so that you might be saved from your sin. So that in His mercy and His grace you'd be saved from a lost eternity in hell. And that you would be sure of heaven. What does the Bible say in John chapter 3, verse 17? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Yes, you can say, preacher, I know God has been speaking to me. I know God has been knocking at my heart's door through His Spirit, through His Word, through the witness of another, through some trial, through some loss, through His goodness. You say, yes, I know that He's been knocking at my heart's door so that I might be saved from my sin. Oh, see the portrait here of Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is He knocking at your heart's door? Yes, we see this wonderful portrait of Christ. But notice secondly tonight from our text, notice the plea of Christ. And notice the earnestness of that plea. Notice the compassion of that plea. Look at what the Lord goes on to say in this verse. He says, if any man hear my voice. What a plea. In this plea here, the Lord calls a sinner to hearken to His voice. He says, if any man hear my voice. In the Gospel of Matthew, Christ says, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. Friend, God wants you to listen to His voice, to His word, to His truth, to His knocking. Yes, the devil will come and he'll whisper other things in your ear. The world will call for your attention. And the devil will use everything that the world can give and the world can employ to draw your attention away from the Lord's voice. But I urge you tonight, listen not to the voice of the devil. Listen not to the voice of this evil, ungodly world. Listen to the voice of Christ, that voice that calls you to trust Him as Savior, that voice that calls you to repent and to turn from your sins. The Bible says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Tell me, friend, are you going to listen to God's voice tonight as He speaks? The Bible says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I think tonight of Saul of Tarsus, an unconverted, ungodly man. The Bible tells us about him on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, to create havoc in the church of Christ. But on that road he met with Christ and he heard the voice of Christ and he heeded the voice of Christ. Turn with me in your Bible back to the Acts of the Apostles and to the chapter number 9. Turn back to that chapter in Acts chapter 9. You'll find Acts just after the Gospel of John. And it speaks of the early blessings of God in the early New Testament church. And in Acts chapter 9 you read of Saul of Tarsus in verse 3. It says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. He was just outside the city, so to speak, that city that we hear about in the news often at this present time. It says, and suddenly, it says, there shined round about him a light from heaven. This light was greater than the brightness of the midday sun. It was the light of Christ, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness. Look at verse 4 of Acts chapter 9 of Saul of Tarsus. This was a man who hated Christ and the gospel. It says, and he fell to the earth. And look at what it says. He heard a voice. He heard the knocking of the Lord at his heart. He heard the speaking voice of God to his soul. He heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Then he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He listened to the voice of God. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The Lord was warning him, "Saul, it's a foolish thing to turn away from the voice of God. It's a foolish thing to kick and to fight against God." And look at verse number 6. It says of Saul of Tarsus, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You know, he had a choice to make that day. He could have dismissed that voice from heaven. He could have turned away from the Lord. But he listened and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" There was a yielding to the voice of Christ that was knocking at his heart's door that day. I heeded, he listened to the voice of God. Yes, he was one who heeded God's knocking, God's speaking voice to his soul. But you know, the sad reality is this, that also in the Bible we read of others who heard the same voice. They heard the Lord speaking to them. They did not listen. I think tonight of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. And God spoke to him in a mighty way. The Bible says through mighty signs and wonders, God spoke to Pharaoh about his sins, need to repent, need to let Israel go, need to listen to God and to God's word and God's truth. And what did old Pharaoh say? He said this. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" The mighty king of Egypt turned away his neck and his ear from hearing the voice of God. He didn't listen. He turned away. Friend, how is it with you tonight? What are you going to do with the Lord speaking voice to your soul? I tell you this, if you are to be wise, you must listen to the Lord's voice. That's the wisest thing you could do tonight, is to listen to the Lord's voice, that voice that would call you to Christ for salvation, that voice that calls you to repent of your sin. That's the wisest thing that you can do. Let me warn you, it is folly to refuse the voice of Christ, no matter who you are. It's the utmost of folly to turn away from the voice of the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 25. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." In other words, friend, if you turn away from the speaking voice of God and go on in your sin and die in your sin, you'll be forever lost in a lost sinner's hell. See that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. There is no hope. There's no escaping. The wrath to come for that man, that woman, that young person, that boy, that girl that turns away from Christ and the gospel and rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now the plea here is that you would listen to the voice of God. But there's something else here in this plea, also in this plea. Not only does the Lord call you to listen to his voice, he also here calls upon the sinner to open their heart to himself. But he says in this verse, he says, if any man, notice it, open the door. Why, this means a sinner coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It means him confessing his sin to Christ and trusting in the blood of Christ shed at Calvary to wash away his sin and to cleanse his soul before Almighty God. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is what it means for the sinner to open his heart to Christ, to come to Christ by faith, to trust Christ for cleansing through the blood that Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. That is how it was with David. Remember David in prayer in Psalm 51, before the Lord, he confesses his sin to the Lord in verse 4. He says this to the Lord, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He confessed his sin to Christ. And in that very same psalm, he calls upon the Lord to cleanse him from his sin. He says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. He was asking the Lord to deal with his sin. He confessed his sin to God. He asked the Lord to cleanse away his sin by the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. He says, Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. Oh, friend, to be saved, you must open your heart to Christ. You must willingly confess your sin to Him and ask Him by faith to cleanse you from your sin in His blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. The hymn writer says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Friend, are you willing to open up your heart tonight to Christ? The hymn writer says, room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid Him enter while you may. You know, if a famous person or a royal visitor were to come to your home tonight and to knock your door, you would open that door. You would invite them in. You would make them welcome. Well, friend, will you not do so with Christ tonight as He knocks at your heart's door, as He speaks to your soul about your need of salvation? Will you not open the door of your heart to Christ and invite Him in and ask Him to save your soul? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ is the greatest of all royal visitors, for He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Son of Almighty God. Will you not yield to Him tonight and trust Him as your own and personal Savior? Yes, here we see the portrait of Christ. We see the plea of Christ. But notice one final thing from this verse tonight. Notice the promise of Christ. What does the Lord promise to those who open their hearts to, or who listen to His voice, who seek Him? Notice what He says at the end of this verse. He says, I will come into Him and will sup with Him, and He with me. Those words that they speak to us there of fellowship with the Lord. They speak to us there of friendship with Christ. You know, whenever a person trusts Christ as Savior, they have in the Lord, the Bible says, a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Dear friend, whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, God will forgive all your sins. That's what God will do for you. The Bible says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. That means the pardon of all your sins. He will give you eternal life. He will give you a home in heaven. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. That's what this friendship with Christ will do. It will pardon your sins. It will give you the home of life everlasting in heaven itself. My friend, whenever you die, your soul will go immediately into God's heaven. For you, it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord when you're saved, when you're Christ as your Savior. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, your body will rise from the grave. And your body will be reunited with your soul perfectly in heaven itself. You turn in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter number 5. Look with me at verse 28 and verse 29. And there Christ speaks to us about the resurrection. In particular, the opening part of verse 29, He speaks about the resurrection of the believer. He says in verse 28 of John chapter 5, He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. He says, they that have done good, that's the saved, those who are born again, those who are trusting in Christ, He says, they will come forth unto the resurrection of life. That is life eternal, life everlasting. Then He goes on to say, and they that have done evil, that's the unsaved, the Christ rejecter, they will come forth unto the resurrection of damnation. But dear friend, if you have Christ as your Savior, Your body will come forth on the resurrection morning unto life eternal, to be reunited with your soul eternally and perfectly in heaven. That's what this friendship means. The forgiveness of all of your sins. It means eternal life. It means your soul going into God's heaven. It means your body being raised perfectly to be reunited with your soul in heaven on the great resurrection morning. But also to have Christ as Savior, it means the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and His grace in your life to live day by day here on earth as a Christian to the glory of God the Father. You remember what Paul said to Titus about the whole purpose of God's salvation in his life, in the life of God's people? He said this of Christ. He said, of Christ who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Aye, when you trust the Lord as your Savior, He'll give you grace and help and power to be a peculiar people, to live for His honor and for His glory day by day. And then to have Christ as Savior, it means His presence. His presence to help you in all the trials and all the battles of life. You remember the Apostle Paul. He was an old man. He was now in a prison cell in Rome for the cause of the gospel. Many of his friends had forsaken him in the work of the Lord and in the cause of the gospel. Yet what did he say to Timothy? He said this about the Lord: notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He knew the Lord's presence and help and power with him in his time of need. Friend, when you have Christ as your Savior in the day of battle, in the day of adversity, in the day of trial, you too will be able to say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me and helped me. And my, we could go on tonight speaking of the blessings of God and Christ for all of His people. It will take all of God's eternity to fully fathom the blessings that God has for His people in Christ. But we can say tonight, all this and much more is promised by Christ to the penitent sinner who comes to Him for salvation. My, to such the Lord makes the promise tonight in our text. He says, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And that's the Lord's promise to all who come to Him for salvation. He says, him that cometh to me, He says, I will in no wise cast out. Why, that's the Lord's promise. No matter who you are in this meeting tonight, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, I tell you, you will find this promise true. When you come to Christ, when you heed His voice, and when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you trust Him to be your own and personal Savior. Unsaved friend, I urge you tonight to consider these words. Listen to the words of Christ in this verse. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Oh, heed those words tonight. Consider those words. As you think upon them, as you consider them, I trust that your response tonight will be like the hymn writer of old. When she said of Christ, and when she looked to Christ and said, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, while on others Thou art calling. Do not pass me by. That was her response. She opened her heart's door to Christ. And she said, Lord, while on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. She yielded to Christ as her Savior. She trusted Him to be her Lord and to be our Redeemer, to be her Savior. Friend, what about you? What are you going to do tonight? You know, there was once a woman, and she had heard the gospel many, many times. And she was on her deathbed, and she said to her daughter, she said, all these years Christ has been knocking at the door of my heart. I felt it. I knew it, yet I did not let Him in. Then she said this to her daughter. She says, "Now it is too late." That's what she said. Friend, what a tragedy if that were to be the deathbed of someone in this meeting here tonight. And Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church, what a tragedy if that were to be your deathbed. Therefore, I urge you tonight, while time is on your side, while opportunity is on your side, turn now to Christ and trust Him. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Why? Well, the Lord is to be found. You're to seek Him. Well, He knocks at your heart's door. You know, the Lord will not always knock. Remember His word, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You read in the Song of Solomon how the Lord came knocking upon the door of a heart. And that heart did not yield to Christ. That heart did not open to Christ. And the Lord withdrew Himself. Later on, the one in the Song of Solomon says, "I sought Him, but I found Him not. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." The Bible says, "Call ye upon Him while He is near." While the Lord is near, while He is speaking, while He is knocking. Friend, call upon the Lord. You call upon the Lord tonight. You trust Him as your Savior. Come to Him just as you are. And my, His blood is able to blot out all your sins. His blood is able to save your soul, to bring you into fellowship with God, into union with Christ, and save you and fit you for heaven, and give you life eternal. We're just